except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and of the scribes, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus once declared to a paralytic that his sins were forgiven, the Pharisees and others who were around were appalled at the saying because, as they declared openly, none can forgive sins but God alone. That declaration for them was easy to make. They were surrounded by others who also believed the same thing. They were sure to get high fives and confirmation all around that they were right. Until Jesus asked them a question, which is easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? These ones had to admit that for them it would be harder to say, rise up and walk, because the other statement was about a spiritual and internal reality, something that was hard to prove one way or the other, whether sins were forgiven or not. It would be hard to know, but if a paralyzed man stood up and walked, the reality of the situation would be clear. The Pharisees were used to being convinced by that which was outward. They had surrounded their lives with layers and layers of obligations that were very clearly either performed or not performed. In a sense, it was easier to be convinced by outward things, outward fasting, outward almsgiving, cleanliness, purification laws, outward compliance with traditions. This was easy. But here was an outward sign that was difficult indeed, saying, get up and walk, to a paralytic. Jesus says that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. In other words, that you may know that I have authority over that which is unseen, internal, eternal. I say unto you, to the paralytic, arise. And as the paralytic arose to walk, their reasoning was required to change. Because a moment earlier, it was easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven. Because you could easily just be uttering words without the power to affect the intended outcome. But now, by proving with the outward that he had the authority, now it became clear he had the authority to accomplish that which was inward, a much more difficult thing. In the gospel for today, Jesus tells those whom he is teaching that their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, or they would not enter the kingdom of heaven. And that must have been, amongst all of Jesus' difficult sayings, one of the most difficult, at least at first, because these people, on first hearing, would have had to reckon that with their conditioned belief that the Pharisees and scribes were the most righteous people in the entire community. How cruel it must have seemed to be told they were going to need to do better than that. You want me to be more righteous than the most righteous. Otherwise, I will not enter the kingdom of God. Well, then I guess I'm not going to enter into the kingdom of God. I literally don't have enough time in the day to do all the things that those folks do, all those services, all those purifications, all that fasting and ritual, all those litanies and vigils. They are professionally righteous. I have a job. I can't do that. And then, just as with the conversation surrounding the healing of the paralytic, Jesus turns the conversation around based on the distinction between the exterior and the interior. Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of observing the calendar, of fasting, of almsgiving, and even prayer. While all these things are commonly turned towards the service of the good, let me tell you that the end for which these activities are meant to be the means. You have heard it said, thou shalt not kill. And for most of us, we can count ourselves innocent, I hope, and therefore righteous for not having killed. But Jesus goes on, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger. Jesus does not come to abolish the law. or create 1,000 new laws about calling your brother Raka, which I'm sure you've never done. Fool, maybe. He comes rather than to create new laws, to fulfill the law. And he means for you to do the same. Which is easier to say? I have not murdered my brother, or I have not allowed anger to find safe harbor in my heart. The outward is very easy to say. The inward is much more difficult. The Pharisees learned that it is easier to obey the law outwardly than to fulfill it, as Jesus does. And your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. God has created us with both an outward and an inward form. He's taught us that it is useless to have an outward form of righteousness without an inward righteousness that aligns with it. But he has not told us, in turn, that it is sufficient for us to have an inward righteousness without an outward form. Quite the contrary. Recall that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory with our eyes. It was a physical incarnation, a physical crucifixion, a physical burial, a physical resurrection, a physical ascension. The Lord healed bodies, and the faithful reached out to touch the hem of his garment physically. The Lord instituted a physical baptism, a physical bread and wine to be consecrated by him to be his body and blood, accompanied by his irrefutable command to participate in this outward form, saying, "Do this." The Christian life is one of inward and spiritual grace manifested in outward and visible signs. The outward and visible is to signify the reality of the inward and spiritual. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, for with them there is an outward, invisible sign, but that which is within does not align. Jesus said elsewhere that they were as whitewashed tombs, sparklingly clean and spotless on the outside and putrid within. We must do better than that. In the epistle for today, St. Paul speaks to the Romans about the interior life and indicates the essence of the gospel. It is not that Jesus has become righteous so that we don't have to. It's not that Jesus died and rose again so that we won't have to. Rather, it is that our lives, both inward and outward, are intertwined, woven together, participating in, sharing, and even one with the life of Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, an outward sign and inward reality? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, an outward sign and inward reality, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, an outward and visible reality, even so we should walk in newness of life, an inward and spiritual grace expressed in an outward and visible manner, with even such things as prayers, vigils, almsgiving, humility, service, sacrifice, sacraments, offices, liturgies, acts of mercy and forgiveness, spiritual friendships, reconciliation. These are to be done, but not as whitewashed tombs. Rather, as souls washed white and clean in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the life and fire of the Holy Spirit, manifesting all kinds of godly fruit in an ordered and godly, Christ-like life. As a people who have been incorporated in to the body of Christ, and who live out the life of Christ in our own context. People who are rightly called Christians. May God grant us strength to live according to the name by which we allow ourselves to be called Christians, both inwardly and outwardly, so that our righteousness may indeed exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, because it is the righteousness of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.